Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Anecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
It's Jodie and Amy with Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. We're coming from the Global AIDS Village at AIDS 2014 in Melbourne. Very exciting. And our next interview is with Matthew Bowden. Matthew is here today, and I've mucked up my notes here. This is outside broadcast. How are you, Matthew?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really, really well. So Matthew's from the Australian Disability and Development Consortium.
I'm not, actually.
It says here, from People with a Disability Australia Incorporated.
That's been fed the wrong information. There you go.
That's what happens live.
No, don't worry. Thank you for correcting me. However, this is factual. The interrelation between disability and HIV is increasingly being recognised, yet people with disability still lack access to information, counselling and testing, treatment and care. Tell us a little bit about the history of people with disability living with HIV in Australia and how's that been tackled so far.
Okay, well, we don't actually know how many people with disability are living with HIV in Australia. The sort of person's disability isn't recorded when testing's done. So we don't actually have any sort of accurate data around this. But of course, we do know that there are people with disability who are living with HIV. We, People with Disability Australia, we provide advocacy support to people with disability who are positive, HIV positive, and are experiencing various barriers to accessing either housing or health services or disability support services. And so through our advocacy program, we get a sort of picture of what is happening on the ground for people with disability living with HIV. People with Disability Australia, we're a disabled persons organisation, so all of our members are people with disability and any type of impairment or any type of disability, and some of our members are people with HIV. So we consider HIV to be a condition which leads to people experiencing disability, so experiencing the barriers and stigma and discrimination and exclusion that people with other types of impairments or conditions also experience. So we work with people who their disability arises from having HIV alone, but we also work with people who have an intersection where they've got multiple impairments. So it might be a person who is deaf and has HIV, or a person who has intellectual disability and is also HIV positive.
So Amy was talking before, and it's quite a valid point that really within disability, sexuality isn't talked about a lot.
No.
Full stop. So
that's
already a barrier for education around HIV.
Yeah.
People with disability.
There needs to be a lot more work done. Just kind of for people to realise that we're just people, and even though we have different labels and diagnosis or whatever you want to call it, we all experience similar things, and we all need to access healthcare, mental health care, all that kind of stuff. And so we just need people in government, different organisations, and people who are living with disability or illness or anything else to actually realise that they're entitled to access the community in the same way as a lot of other people do, and to try and push that into the spotlight a bit more.
Yeah, Matthew, I mean, how hard is it to access education for people with disabilities when, you know, we talk about, you know, we've been fighting for the National Disability Insurance Scheme to get basic human rights for people with disability, and it's almost like the sex education comes right at the bottom of the barrel.
I think you're right. I mean, I think it's sort of the last taboo, really, for people with disability. There's so much stigma, both around disability, but also around sex, that when we have the two things combined, it's just seems to sort of freak people out, really. The exclusion from information about sexuality begins at a very young age, and so we have, you know, school curriculums and pupils that aren't within mainstream education. Pupils with disability are unfortunately, you know, given a different curriculum, and that curriculum very often doesn't include the sex education that the kids with disability, their non-disabled peers, would be receiving. Some children and young people and adults with disability are also going to require information in a particular format. So, you know, for a deaf person, then that would be receiving information, you know, not verbally, but through sign language. People who have a cognitive impairment, perhaps an intellectual disability, they may need to have information in sort of easy read English or in pictorial form. So that giving a person, you know, text heavy or talking to them with lots of sort of complicated words and long sentences might not work for that person to receive the information. So there really needs to be some, you know, just very basic adjustments made, and there are lots of resources available that have been developed, you know, around the world and in Australia. Family planning organisations are places where people can get really good information that has been designed to be accessible for people with disability, and also sort of information based within the context of disability, so that resources that are pictorial actually have visual representations of people with disability within them, which is not very common. Quite mostly are information about safer sex or sexuality are representations of people who are able-bodied only. So it's very important that there's that sort of connection that people have with the materials that are used in either, you know, youth groups or schools or healthcare sort of settings where people will be receiving information.
So what are you learning from the conference, Matt?
I'm learning lots of great things from the conference. I mean, it's fantastic being in the Global Village. We've got the Disability Network Zone, so people can come down to the Disability Network Zone and it's free. Nobody needs to have a ticket to go to the conference to go there.
That was a little bit of a push to get that in, wasn't it, from what I hear?
Well, we need to make an application along with, you know, everyone else who's in the Global Village. And so thankfully our application was one of the ones that were chosen. So, you know, there are many population groups and all sort of vying for a space, of course, and we all believe that our issue is very important. But thankfully the conference, you know, recognised that, you know, approximately 20% of the world's population have impairment or disability. So it's great that, you know, we are a very large minority, that we are represented here in the networking zone and in the Global Village.
So what are some of the initiatives going forward that the community can put forward in terms of HIV and I guess advocating for the rights of people with disability who are living with HIV?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the sort of initiatives is that Australia signed up to, as many other countries around the world have, to the United Nations Declaration on the Human Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And that sort of declaration gives a really nice framework for us to be able to talk about the right to information about your body and about how your body works and sex and sexuality, and also the risks of sex and, you know, having sex. So seeing that framework implemented in every sort of aspect of a person with disabilities' life, whether that's through recreational programs that they might be engaging with, or in an education setting, or when they're the recipient of disability service, it's everyone has a part to play in terms of the way that sex is sort of destigmatized and people are given access to sort of accurate, relevant and timely information. there are also, you know, all sorts of assumptions that are made about the sexualities of people with disability. One of those things is that, you know, people with disabilities, we're saying, are asexual, or that they might be hypersexed, or that people with disability don't have, you know, that sort of same desire. Now, people with disability are going to have the same wants, wishes and aspirations as any other person, and people with disability might want to access the sex industry. They might want to identify as being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex. So the information that we need to sort of provide to people needs to be really tailored to their what their situation is at that time, and the information that they want to have, rather than sort of making an assumption that you know, everyone with disability is going to only want to have heterosexual sex.
Matthew Bowden, thank you for joining us today. Matthew's from the People with Disability Australia Incorporated.
Joy 94.9, live from Melbourne at AIDS 2014, the 20th International AIDS Conference, streaming to the world via joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.